This is Hot Tech with Jan Vermeulen.
Jan, there's an expression, as much as things change, so they stay the same. And it seems like you and I are back where we were last year, November, December, chatting about Bitcoin scams. Tell us about the rise and fall of South Africa's 54 billion Bitcoin brothers.
Yeah, Chad, thanks. And we've spoken about AfriCrypt before, but it really became hot news again after Carte Blanche ran a segment on them this past weekend. And I think, you know, people started seeing the whole story for the first time. And this, I think the place to begin is how this came into the public consciousness, because AfriCrypt failed in April already. But the first media reports about it, and it got liquidated. It got liquidated within a week or so of the founders, Raiz and Amir Kaji, fleeing the country. Or at least disappearing. One doesn't know when exactly they fled the country. And it got liquidated, and there was no media interest in it whatsoever until a fateful report was published on one of South Africa's tech news publications that they had somehow amassed 54 billion rands worth of crypto assets. I think the original amount was given in dollars, and it was, I think, 3.5 billion US dollars, and that they had somehow absconded with that amount of money in crypto assets. And this just caused a frenzy of media attention. And it turned out that amount just was wrong. You know, I don't know if it was intentionally fed to the journalists who ran the story, or, you know, if it was just a mistake on the part of the investigator who looked at it in the beginning. But, you know, one of the folks at Luno took a look at the actual address that was finally publicized. This is the other thing that was heavily criticized by people in the crypto asset industry, is that you make these bold claims about how much Bitcoin these brothers made off with, but provide no evidence. And honestly, if it's in Bitcoin or Ethereum or any other crypto asset, those records are public. You can just point to the wallet address, and everybody can verify what's going on. Eventually, a wallet address did end up getting published. And one of the good folks at Luno took a look at it and said, hang on, I recognize this address. It belongs to a crypto asset exchange. And so the address that was linked to the brothers actually belongs to one of the crypto exchanges, probably here in South Africa. They weren't specific about which one, but it can really only be one of three. It's either Luno or Valar or Altcoin Trader. And it turns out that the more likely figure that was stolen or lost was probably closer to the region of 110 million rand odd to maybe 500 million rand. Not an amount to be sneezed at, but certainly no 54 billion. And with that out the way, the rest of the story is interesting. And perhaps just to skip to a bit of the end of it, and, you know, we can chat around it if you've got any other questions. But these brothers you resurfaced to file court papers in Tanzania. Now, one doesn't know how long they were in Tanzania, but the stamp on the affidavit that they submitted was put there by the High Commission in Dar es Salaam. And you know, one expects that the brother who did that, I think it was Raiz, immediately left the country, because in those court papers, he alleges that while they were hiding out in Dubai in May, their father was kidnapped. Their father was with them. Their father was allegedly kidnapped and extorted with a threat of violence against him and his family for money. And, you know, the brothers assume that this was brought on by disgruntled investors who had hired these kidnappers to squeeze money out of them. But yeah, it could just, as I think, if the story is true, then because the Dubai police have yet to return my calls or my emails to confirm that this case was actually lodged with them. If it was indeed true, then it could just as easily have been someone who knows about them. You know, their faces are plastered all over the media, all over the world. and decided to target their father because they know that they've got a lot of money, right? The 54 billion figure that's been thrown around, and try to squeeze money out of them through a kidnapping extortion scam. The other piece of interesting information that's come out in the story comes via The Guardian, which conducted a separate investigation into a citizenship by investment scheme run out of the Pacific Island nation of Vanuatu. And it's because Vanuatu is quite a haven for unscrupulous characters, and it's a tax haven and so on, that they looked at it. And they found that both brothers bought themselves Vanuatu passports. Raiz in October last year, and then Amir, the younger brother, in January this year, months ahead of AfriCrypt's total collapse. And so they are, at least Raiz, there's corroborating evidence that he is indeed a citizen of Vanuatu. He provided details to that effect for a UK company that he launched. And that passport gives them visa-free access to lots of places in the world, including either EU, Russia, the Caribbean. They can travel to so many places in addition to Vanuatu itself, that they can literally hop visa-free from country to country and stay on the run for as long as they like until their money runs out, with armed with a passport like that.
Well, Sean Pierce, who's the Durban-based investigator who I know very well, seems to be under the impression that a red notice will be issued, and then that visa-free hopping will come to an end, because they'll hop into a country that subscribes to the Interpol red list, and they'll be taken into custody. But just before you go, I want to chat about this figure of 54 billion. And I think the issue pertaining to the amounts of money that get claimed in these Bitcoin crashes is misunderstood, largely because the amounts often get restated because Bitcoin increases exponentially month on month. And I think a lot of the times when we hear these huge amounts, whether it's BTC Global, Mirror Trading International, Praesidium, Imaginer, or in this case, AfriCrypt, I think a lot of the time the investors are not talking about the capital they've lost, but they all come together with the promised amounts that they believe they would have got over a period of time. And of course, to invest with one of these scams, you have to be promised an amount that you wouldn't get anywhere else. And I think that's a large reason why we see these overstated amounts.
Yeah, the 54 billion was utterly outlandish and either a mistake or an intentionally misleading. But yes, even in this case, I chatted to a lawyer who represents a large number of claimants against AfriCrypt, a large number of its former clientele. And they've come forward with a claim of around 140, 150 million rand, but that's including the promised profits. Excluding the profits that they were promised.
Wow, so that's not even the capital amounts.
Yeah, the capital amounts are apparently around 110, 115 million. It might even be, it depends on, you know, what happens when you start really digging into how much money people invested. But you can already see how big a disparity that is, you know, just in a few months, of the money that people put into the scheme versus the amount of money that they expected to get out.
Jan, thank you so much for updating us. It's an interesting case that joins all those other scams that South Africa are becoming infamous for. This is now number 5 on the top list. And I'm looking forward to chatting to you again when there's further updates regarding all of this.